Hello and welcome back to The Latecomers. I'm Amity.
I'm Lemuel.
And this week, we're either in a night or a curse, but I think it's a curse of the night with Curse of the Demon from 1957?
Yes, 1957.
Directed by Jacques Tourneau. Is that how we do it? Put R's, like if it ends in an R, they don't say it. It's French. And starring Dana Andrews, who's a man, not a lady.
Which is the same thing we covered in Laura.
Yes.
That film.
Not Laura, Laura. Okay, except there's a U in it. Let's fight about letters! So this movie, its original name in Britain, Night of the Demon. In America, they said, no, we will not have it. It is a curse of the demon. Do you know why? Was there already a Night of the Demon in...
No.
Which, that doesn't make sense, because we name... There are 16 movies called The Uninvited.
Right. Some much better than others. Night of the Demon, as it turns out, is a really catchy title for a film. Not Night of the Demon from 71 or 1980 or a film series that started in 1988, 94, 97. There was a remake of it in 2009.
I don't remember any of these, and I was alive for all of them.
I'm not sure. Well, I don't think they are comparable.
Yes.
I haven't seen them all.
Real pillars of the zeitgeist, it sounds like.
But Night of the Demon stands out as being just a really remarkable piece of work.
So, you brought this to us.
Mm-hmm.
This is a black and white, very short film.
Right.
It's along the lines of the black and white, very short films we've been watching.
Mm-hmm.
It's less than a half an hour, or an hour. It's less than an hour and a half.
Ooh,
it's
not a really short film. Yeah.
It is a whole movie. And the whole of it is, there's a demon, and if you don't believe in the demon, you're going to get cursed.
Well, that's... It's based on a story by M.R. James.
Your most favoritist author. I don't know, is that true? It's very close.
Yes. He was a provost of Eton who wrote ghost stories. He was mostly an antiquarian scholar.
His name is Montague Rhodes.
Yes.
So fancy.
He was a scholar. This is, let's see, when was his period of time? Because I know that, 1862 through 1936.
And you've read everything he's ever written.
Well, not everything, because he was an antiquarian and a scholar, and he mostly translated apocryphal books of the Bible.
Well, this is he's like your spirit animal.
Right.
Or,
so he was very much.
Were you him? Maybe is it possible that you were him?
So he did this, and to entertain his favorite students, he would invite them to his rooms. On
shady.
No.
I know.
A dozen students at a time, really, or whoever fit in this room.
Right.
And he would read them a ghost story every Christmas Eve.
Every Christmas Eve. And there's like a BBC
show
where they do they read them or do they act like
perform
them?
Well, there's been several. One of which was Christopher Lee, who just missed being one of those students.
Mm.
He was too young for
experience. That's right, he went to Eden as well, didn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
Sitting up and drinking with these gentlemen, but he did meet M.R. James. So there is a there's a BBC series of him just reading the stories.
Okay.
In character.
Like an Alistair Cook situation.
There was stories before that. The series that you're probably thinking of started with a director named Lawrence Gordon Clark, who directed a series of ghost stories for Christmas every year in the 1970s. It really started with 1968 with Whistle and I Come to You, My Lad, which was a story that was done on a British show called Omnibus. And based on that, the reception was so great that Lawrence Gordon Clark was commissioned to do these other stories. And they're very famous. They're very creepy and weird.
You love them so much.
Well, they're really lovely. His stories are about antiquarians and people who stumble into all sorts of issues, generally through intellectual curiosity.
Is he anti-skeptic? Because this movie is anti-skeptic.
He is not as anti-skeptic as the movie turns out to be. And the film also, remember, this edition that we saw of the film, which is the one that's available right now, is slightly shorter. than the full length Night of the Demon, Curse of the Demon, because it was cut down by a few minutes so it could be made into a double bill.
Ah,
Because the
gotcha.
producers, I don't think, had a great deal of faith in it.
So it's the B.
Right. Well, it would possibly, I think it was the A on some tickets.
Okay.
But it is an A kind of production.
For sure.
Right.
There's a big monster in it.
Right. Well, and that's
The
something that we'll
smoke
discuss
effect for that,
afterwards.
that precedes the monster, very good.
Right. The monster is something we'll discuss at the end of it because there's a huge amount of debate about the monster.
It's got a big funny hand.
Well, that's kind of the problem, is that some people felt that you shouldn't show the
You
monster.
shouldn't show this monster.
The director felt that the monster shouldn't be shown.
I agree with them.
And Jacques Tourneur had worked with, and what I love about this film is it has real bona fides. It was written by M.R. James, who is recognized as the greatest ghost story writer in the 20th century. And that's not just me, that's everyone from H.P. Lovecraft to Stephen King believes that. And he kind of invented the ghost story the way that we know of it now.
Right.
From there, it was directed by Jacques Tourneur, who had worked, who was a director who had directed some amazing horror films under Val Lewton. He did the horror noir, and he learned that under Val Lewton, how to do, what you see in the shadows is much more frightening than what you're going to see directly.
Or what is shadowed?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and Val Lewton's
Right. And he.
his cinematography, I don't know how much of what Val Lewton's films look like are is up to Val Lewton and how much is up to
He
his.
was a very much a hands-on producer. And so he handpicked the directors that he thought he could work with. And I have a book on Val Lewton that was written by, I think it was, I can't remember the critic actually. But he goes on about how Lewton, he gives an example of one of Lewton's scripts, and there are notes everywhere on it. And it was for the film I Walked with a Zombie, which
Yeah.
Jacques Tourneur also directed.
Okay. Oh, he did.
Yeah, he directed.
I assumed that, I thought that
Right.
that was a Val Lewton joint.
No,
Did he ever direct anything?
I don't believe so.
Oh, I
He.
misunderstood him as a whole existence.
Right, but he was really. He would work with a director. And the funny thing is that there's no. We haven't chosen any Val Lewton films for this list.
But it's like Tim Burton presents. It's that
Right.
kind of thing where it's his vibe.
Right. He would work really. He worked with the writers. He wrote the film sometimes under pseudonyms. He worked with the editors. He handpicked the directors, really, that
But
he
he was
thought
like
were.
good to work with, not like that other
No,
guy
he
that we
wasn't
keep running into.
overbearing.
Okay.
No. And I think that's what led to the stress in making this film for Jacques Tourneur. Because having worked with Val Lewton, who was just sitting there with you
Yeah.
creating this, and Val Lewton's way of doing a film was to sit him and Ardell Ray, his secretary, who was just transcribing things, and the other producers in the office, and they said, and just have a scare session. Wait till the lot was, everyone was off the lot, turn out the lights, and she has a
And
little
then
light
just
over her
try and
desk, and
creep
they
each
try
other
to
out.
creep each other out.
That's amazing.
So he was.
I feel like that's how Frankenstein was written, huh? Like,
Possibly,
kind
yes,
of the exact
exactly.
same kind of thing of like, let's tell each other stories until we're totally
Just
creeped
work that
out, and
into a
then
film.
oops, I found a really good one. I'm gonna go ahead and finish
But
it.
he liked working with Lewton because Lewton really respected the director and he chose them anyhow. And so, although we don't have any Val Lewton films in this list, we do have Night of the Demon, which was Jacques Tourneur, and we also have The Haunting in our list, which was directed by Robert Wise, who is another one of Val Lewton's hand-chosen people. And they both reflect his aesthetic, which is things in the dark, things in the shadows. And so there's a great deal of controversy over whether or not there should have been ever a creature scene.
The trouble with the creature, you only see it twice.
Right.
I think at the end it would have been fine, but you see it
That's
30
the
seconds into
main
the movie.
dispute. Okay. Turner's idea was that he wanted to make it so that it wasn't so clearly a battle between skepticism and this sort of superstition, frankly.
Right.
He wanted to create a situation by which you don't know at the very end of it whether or not anything actually happened, or are you listening to an unreliable narrator and
Right.
following
Yeah, then the first minute puts that right out the window.
right.
'Cause in the first minute it literally says, "No, there's a demon."
Yeah.
Period. And now we just
And
wait for this dude to figure it out.
the script was written by, let's
So the screenplay was written by Charles
right.
Bennett.
And Bennett sold the script. It wasn't called Night of the Demon or anything involving demon. I think it was called The Haunting, or Haunted, I think was the title of it.
Haunted's not a bad title.
And And so the script was sold, and it was sold to Hal Chester, who then started making contributions, he felt, to the film. And he, unlike Luton, who really worked with a director and a screenwriter, just kind of bulldozed his way through, and
Yeah,
he
and he's
insisted
got
on it.
screenplay credit as
Right.
well. Yeah.
He insisted on showing the demon, which kind of ruined what Jacques Tourneur and what Chester was trying to do.
I think overall,
Excuse me, what Bennett was trying to do.
I think seeing the demon hurts it a little bit. It just makes it a different watch. It just makes the whole thing different. I wouldn't have hated at the end to see it. But the first thing, like I said, the first thing you see is a dude running and then a demon coming and him dying. He's not technically killed by the demon, but it's close. He's killed by electricity.
Well, yeah. Here, we should probably go through the film. There's not much to go through because
No.
it runs. It's like a bullet, right?
Yeah. So yeah, as I say, we open with a
Professor
man.
Harrington.
He's on the run. He reaches his. Oh, we. I guess he's begging at the very beginning, right? For it to be called off, basically,
We
is
don't know what it is.
what it is, and he's begging a man who could be Anton LaVey. He's got a very
It's
pointy
Julian
beard.
Cogswell. It's played by Neil McGuinness, who's a wonderful actor. Yes, I remember him in Jason the Argonauts. He played Zeus, and he was a very cherubic, good-natured Zeus.
I could see he was yes, I could absolutely see that. And he's basically like, if you don't have the piece of paper, don't know what I can do for you, and we don't know what that means. But then Harrington drives super fast, and then he gets out of his car at his garage, and then he sees a big smoke. Well, it's a little smoke, and then it's a big smoke, and then it's a big monster, and he has a big hand. And his hand comes towards him, and then the
He
electric
backs up, yeah,
lines
he backs up his car to avoid
to
the
run away,
monster,
right?
and the power lines fall down, and
And then he gets fried.
yes, it's horrible when you think about it. He gets electrocuted in his car that catches on
Yeah,
fire.
it's rough. And then we switch over to a man on a plane and a woman behind him on a plane, and she is up and working with the light on, and he is trying to get some sleep. And you think, wow, look at all the space they have on that plane. And also,
Stewardess offers him a cigarette, I think, at one point.
yes, yes. So he's trying to, like, he wants an eye mask. And then she asks if she can move because she thinks she's bothering him. They can't move her or whatever. So he puts a hat over his hand or his
His
face.
face, yeah.
And then she keeps working. And I'm like, well, she's going to be in this movie. She's very pretty. She turns out she is Harrington's niece. So this man that we see on the plane is Dr. John Holden, who is in town. The newspaper that we see cracks me up. John Holden is in town, and by town I mean England, he's an American, to appear at a parapsychology conference debunking basically Julian Carswell and his whole calling him a cult leader and telling him,
Right.
telling everyone that
He is a cult leader. He'll agree with
he'll
that,
agree with
but
that. And so he is there to he's been invited by Harrington. And he is a skeptic, as we say, like professionally kind of like this seems to be his job. First of all, there's somebody who, like, he's getting interviewed or whatever, and he's like, I'm a parapsychologist. And they're like, a para what? Oh, no, the paranormal. And I think paranormal psychologist is what he says. And the guy goes, para what? And I'm like, normal is the easiest part of that entire phrase. What the fuck? But he is told Professor Harrington has died. And then he runs into, what's her name? Do, 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 do. What is her name?
Name is Joanna Harrington.
Joanna, who's like, I know you, you're from the plane. And he says, I know you. They run into each other at the funeral, at the viewing. He goes and pays his respects, and she is there. And she says, I am his niece. And she gives him her uncle's diary, right? And that shows that he sort of, like, over the past week or so,
had been growing in this sense of foreboding.
He'd been getting paranoid. He was like, this guy's really dangerous. Like, he started to believe that Carswell was doing something with the supernatural. Like, I don't know, sorcery, I guess, is what you would call it. Witchcraft. I hate using the term witchcraft, but
Well,
that's
yes, we
what
have
they're
to
going to call it.
understand for the purposes of this podcast and this story, witchcraft is not Wiccans.
No, it is quote unquote devil worship. Like
Right.
that is the
Now,
malleus maleficarum
right.
nonsense that is quote unquote witchcraft in basically every ghost story that's ever been
Yes,
written.
well, yeah, until
So
more modern times when people understood that the words could mean different things.
and Holden is like, yeah, I think he might have just been like losing it a little bit, and it's like fully a coincidence that he did die. And he goes, let's go out to Carswell's place though and check it out. I'm like, you're just gonna walk into this dude's house. Now, he had been on the cover of the newspaper. His trip to
Right.
Britain was on the cover of a newspaper because he was coming to talk at this conference about how this guy was a fraud. And now you're just gonna go to his house? Wild. Also, calling somebody a fraud and giving a lecture about it without ever having met them is
Well,
a ballsy
it
move.
turns out he does meet him in the library, the British Library,
Oh, that's right.
which is
That's
a
where it
really
started.
funny
That's right.
kind of scene. He introduces himself, Carswell does.
That's right.
And leaves him a card.
Leah leaves him a
And
card.
that's the important thing because in that scene, he passes in the runes.
Yes, so he knocks, he knocks, it's one of those, oh, your thing fell on the ground, let me pick it
Right.
up for you. And I'm like, don't. He knocks a folder of papers on the floor and he picks it back up and hands it to him. And yes, in this is a folded parchment that is maybe a foot long and maybe 3 inches wide, and it's got a bunch of runes on it. Standard looking runes. I'm like, yeah, I remember that. I used it as a basically a cipher, right? Because you know what A is in runic, but you
Right.
don't know what the language is that the runes go to. So you just write your own name or whatever in those runes, and it means no nothing. It means nothing.
I used to do that when I was in middle or high school, no, middle school, because we had a couple of us in my class had read Journey to the Center of the Earth, and the message is written by Arne Saknussemm, the explorer. Is written in runic letters, so we found a guide and we would just start passing
It's
notes in
very
rune
easy
to
to
each other.
find. I had Raymond Buckland's Beginner's Guide to Witchcraft that had it in there, and I made myself a little ceremonial dagger, and
I'm
I
sorry, I didn't mean that
no,
in
you can laugh.
dismissively.
It's funny. And I like carved the handle. I like sharpened. Basically, it was a like a file, like a tool, like a file tool. But I filed the file down, and then I etched my name in runes into the blade. Please understand that the craft was very powerful, and I was 16 years old. But yeah, so. So he finds these runes. Well, he doesn't find them right away. I think that happens first, right? And then,
Carswell invites him over to his house because there's a book that
oh, that's right.
Holden
So
is looking for.
he meets Carswell first, then he meets the the niece, Joanna, at the viewing, and then yeah, and he's been given a card, and when Holden looks at the card the first time, it says one thing, and when he looks at it again, it says something
Well, he is 3 days
different.
allotted.
Yes.
And so being the 3 days allotted is written in cursive and it's glowing.
Yeah.
Almost. And so he thinks it's a trick.
He takes it to a lab and
Right.
is like, figure out what, like, if they're disappearing ink or
Right.
is there something like that on this card? Like, figure it out. Science this and then tell me what's up.
And so he meets Joanna and says, well, Carswell extended the invitation to see this book that's missing from the library.
That's right, that's what it was, yeah.
And would you like to come with me? And they wind up going to his amazing palatial estate,
Yes.
and he's throwing a Halloween party for the local children. And what I find really amusing is that Carswell's character is really, really interesting in the film.
Yeah, he's dressed like a clown at the beginning, and he is. I don't know if he's conjuring puppies or if he just has a sack of puppies that he's pulling out. It's unclear, but he's pulling all these puppies out and giving them to these kids in a way that very much reminded me of Mother, with the babies. I'm like, stop giving these, because they were little puppies, and those kids were clamoring, and there was a bunch of
I
them.
like the fact also that they're wearing these really horrifying masks.
Yeah. I
and
like Kurzweil's clown though. He looked really good. And then he steps away, walks with Holden a little bit. Joanna is taken off by Kurzweil's mother, who I think lives with
Who's
him
an
at this
interesting character.
estate.
M.R. James did not do a lot of female characters because he was a person in a very male environment.
So instead of just putting a token woman in and making her
He
dumb
well,
as hell,
yes,
then he just was
but
like, let me not.
when he did do female characters, they often were these sort of like very British, very kind of aggressively parochial women.
Yeah.
And this mom is different from that in that she's sort of sweet. And she understands there's something desperately wrong with her son.
Yeah. She doesn't, well, she does kind of know, but she's like, he's got it under control, and then he's starting to not have it under control. So she takes her off because she makes ice cream, and so she takes Joanne off to have the ice cream. And Carswell and Holden walk off into the woods, sort of on the estate. And he's basically like, let me just, some people just need Carswell. Carswell is like, some people just need, some sort of demonstration. And then he's like, okay. Like, he just looks up at the sky, and then he's like, okay. And then big winds, big wind,
Huge
huge
winds.
winds, like thunder, lightning, the whole nine. Everybody has to go. You hear screaming kids, like that. Everybody has to rush inside. And still Holden's like, weird turn of the weather. And Griswold's like, God damn
Well, he says something like, I didn't know you
it.
have cyclones in England. He's like,
He's
we
like, we
don't.
don't. So right before this, Carswell, or like Holden, knows now that he has this parchment because I think Joanna helps find like finds it. She's like, oh, did he give you anything? And Holden's like, he handed me this folder or whatever, and she opens it, and it has this parchment in it, which is ripped from his hands in a room that doesn't have any windows open, and flies towards the
Well, it has one
fire,
window open, and then they close the window, and it's
and
still
it's
trying to
still
get
trying
to
to
the
get out.
grate.
And the what we are to understand is from what Harrington said at the very beginning, if anything happens to that parchment, there's not, he's gonna die in 3 days. It's very much like the ring. Like, you're gonna die. Here's your date of death, and you're gonna die. And so it flies towards it gets stuck on the grate of the fireplace, which is burning. And she's like, we have to stop it. We need to stop it. Meanwhile, making no move to stop it. Nobody, neither of them, for like 30 seconds, they're just looking at the flap of paper, like perilously close to the top of this fire grate, and not doing anything. And I'm just like, well, you guys, if you're
I can
concerned about
understand why
it,
he wouldn't do
go
it.
get it.
The fact that she's just sort of in shock or something and she can't bring herself to
It's
action
wild.
is the part that startled that I think doesn't quite make sense,
Yeah,
but
but he gets it back and he pockets it, and then he brings it with him.
Now, we should mention that earlier in the film, when he first got back to his hotel, he was
That's right.
visited there by a number of his
Peers,
associates.
yeah. Other parapsychologists, that's not what they are, but let's call them that because that's what they call
Including
themselves.
Professor Mark O'Brien, who has a wonderful accent.
Yeah.
And they want to take one of the members of the devil cult that Carswell was running
Yes.
and hypnotize him.
Yeah, so I guess the concept here is anybody who has the parchment dies in 3 days. That's what it is. The only person who survived that is this guy,
Rand Hobart.
Hobart. There's a lot of Holden and Hobart. So Hobart's family, Holden, yes, they want to hypnotize him because Holden, And his colleagues believe in the therapeutic power of hypnotism. They
Which
don't
was
believe in demons, but they,
1957.
yeah.
So it's something that people used to invest more faith in.
I think hypnotism, true hypnotism, is very good at some things
Right, this is
and
not one
very
of them.
bad at other things
Right.
and very dangerous in certain situations. So,
But I like the idea that this is a film about witchcraft
yeah.
and all sorts of goblins and ghouls and demons.
That nobody believes in except
Right.
let's do this weird
But
thing.
yes, and that there's some sort of like, they're going to hypnotize this patient who's
Yeah.
catatonic at this point.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to give him some amphetamines, wake him
They give
up.
him literal methamphetamine.
Right. To wake him up so that they then can hypnotize him and get out of the story. Rand Hobart is charged with murder
Yes, that's right.
because he was passed
This
the
parchment.
parchment and then he passed it back to the person who gave it to him.
Right.
And that person was slaughtered by the demon. But the demon, like Joanna Harrington's uncle,
Yeah.
is killed in such a heinous way, despite the fact that, yes, he was on
Well,
fire. He was
also,
also.
nobody believes that a demon
Right.
came and did
But
this.
he's horribly mutilated,
Yeah.
which is something she points out to Holden. It's like, well, yes, there was him being electrocuted, but he was also horribly scarred up. So when Rand Hobart's, the person who passed in the room, gets it back and he gets eviscerated or whatever, we're never told what it was.
Yeah. Dies horribly. He
Hobart's
goes
accused of
mad.
murder,
And he goes
also.
mad because
Yes.
he's like there
Right.
when, because it's right then, I
Yeah.
guess. And Holden at least has the presence of mind and the decency to go to Hobart's family and say, "Hey, can we take?" Well, I guess they probably need. He needs. He can't just take
Right.
a criminal, quote unquote, criminally insane person out of an asylum. So, say, "Hey, can we do this? Because we have some questions." The family believes their son. They
Right.
believe that there was this demon, that there was this parchment attached to him, that if he hadn't done what he had done, he would have died. That's what they believe. And as he's walking away, the parchment comes out of, I don't know, his hand, his pocket, wherever it is, and they declare that he is chosen, and they're like, basically, never, don't ever come back here again. Get out, evil eye, evil eye.
Right, because they didn't want to be there when something goes wrong.
Yeah, we've already had a family member not
And
survive
we've seen
this.
how he reacted to this because he saw the entire thing, as you said.
And then we have a brief understanding that this movie was, in fact, made in the 50s because Holden goes to Stonehenge, just walks right up to
Right.
those rocks. You can't do that anymore. Certainly not with cameras, but not as a person. You cannot go to Stonehenge anymore without special dispensation. And he's checking out the runes, and they sort of match the ones that are carved on one of the pillars in Stonehenge. Then, seance time, everybody.
Right, now this is a whole this is Carswell's mother
Yes.
who has
And Joanna, we should say, is along for a lot of this ride.
Right.
She's the one who sets this up.
Joanna seems
And
to
she believes.
yes, she's attracted to Dr. Holden. Dr. Holden's obviously attracted to her
Hitting
because
on
she's
her
cute as hell.
mercilessly. She's a
And
beautiful
so the
lady.
two of them kind of had this sort of funny back and forth that I like because it seems like two and we've talked about that. Oh,
Yeah.
why is it that people fall in love 5 minutes later? No. These are two people in a high stress situation,
They're
and
not, yes, it is. It's a speed
but
situation.
they're flirting with each other,
Yeah.
but they're not doing anything where it's like, oh, really? That's
Yeah, no, at no
right.
point was it like, I can't live without you. I'm like, you've known
No.
each other for 3 goddamn days, but I like you. I'm
Right.
interested in you. I prefer not to see you die.
Right. So that's
So,
kind of, I like that. She's also very smart and
yeah,
feisty in
she's a
her own right.
teacher, and she, yeah, so she's not just
Right.
this sort of
She's,
shrinking
her job is
violet
not
or.
to translate this for the audience. What the idea for the film, and many reviewers of the film say the same thing, is it's really frustrating. She's the stand-in for trying to get us to shake Holden and go, something's really going on here,
Yeah.
because he really wants to stick to this very sort of skeptical worldview.
So they go to the seance held by, like, brought together by Carswell's mom, who we've seen talking to Carswell, and she's like, if this isn't making you happy, just
Right, there's a
stop doing
great
it.
scene that Carswell has with his mom, and he's like, well, believe this also, you get nothing for nothing. This house, the land, the way that we live, nothing for nothing. My followers who pay for this do it out of fear. And what I do out of fear, what I do is out of fear also. It's part of the price. And she goes, if it makes you unhappy, stop, give it back. And he's like, how do I give back life? I can't stop it. I can't give it back.
Yeah, so the idea here is if he doesn't continually feed this thing people, he's the one who's gonna get
And
fed.
they like draw lots or something. It's
Yeah.
never made clear what the arrangement is, but Rand Hobart was not having any of it.
Y'all, this is how capitalism is the enemy of this
Okay, here we
movie.
go. We have an
Just
not
capitalism's
anti-capitalism moment,
the
but
No, we can have an anti-capitalism moment. I'll make a little jingle.
All right.
But this is how capitalism is the villain in this movie. It's hard to make a movie with a supernatural bent into a capitalism movie unless the movie is about a cult leader, in which case it's definitely a capitalism movie. This dude lives in this gorgeous estate, has everything that he wants, and all he has to do to keep that money
Oh, that's an interesting connection there.
is kill people on the reg, or like set people up to be killed on the
Yeah.
reg. So
There's a human
capitalism.
sacrifice to keep all
Yeah,
that going.
to keep, and it's money. It is
And I
lifestyle.
like the fact that he, because the character in the short story is very much a villain, almost twirling mustache villain.
I mean, this
But it
dude's,
was a short story.
yeah, this dude's
For
got a little bit more.
this story, he's a very kind of urbane, intelligent, and you almost feel sorry for him at times, like he's weighing over his head.
And but he also is like, he's not like he doesn't want to target his member, but he is like, if you're gonna come into his country and call him a fraud in front of everybody, and I have to have somebody killed, you seem like a pretty good candidate. I mean, like, I can't really fault the logic if for somebody who's in his
Better you
position.
than me or any of the people who are supporting this
Well, yeah,
lifestyle.
because if he was gonna, if he was down to just give it up, then he would just give it up, but he's not. That's not
And he
his.
can't back out of it at this point.
Unless he dies. You can fall on that sword literally.
But again, being that we're talking about a demon, probably dying is not going to be the end of it.
Well, fair enough, but I'm pretty sure this guy's gonna die eventually, and then we'll end up there anyway. So, but the seance is very funny because the seance, like, he's like, this is bullshit, this is straight bullshit, all these guys are hucksters, it's bullshit, it's bullshit, it's bullshit. And it does, in fact, appear to be bullshit. But the dude does a convincing, like, he speaks with Harrington's voice. And Joanna's like, no, that's my uncle. And he says, what does he say? I don't remember what he said.
Coming in the
Oh,
trees.
he has the key to reading the runes in the copy of the rare. I don't know if it's that book. It's that book. And so then Holden is like, okay, well, I don't believe any of this, but also I'm going to leave and go steal
Well, he stands up and he turns on the light, which is something you never do at a
to do.
seance. It
Yeah.
breaks the circuit of energy. And again, I've never been to a seance. Don't want to. It's just like
That's
opening
wild.
your
It
door
seems
and
to me
saying,
like
anybody, turn
yeah,
up.
come on in. Not great.
And I have far too much respect for the other side to do stuff like that. But what I like about that scene is it really does reflect all the kind of tropes of seances.
Yeah, it
There's
does.
the Red
But
Indian
quick,
chief.
too. It's like 3 minutes. Yes. His fucking spirit guide literally is
And
an
that is
Indian
something that
chief.
you read about constantly.
In Britain. They're in Britain. Ugh.
And then there's the drowning child, and
Yeah.
then there's hold oh excuse me,
Harrington.
Harrington,
Yeah.
and
All
that's
of the H
he
names,
makes
very confusing.
the line that's coming in the trees, which is what Kate Bush sampled
Oh, that's
for her
right.
song. And there's really this has had a cultural impact that we didn't mention, in that Kate Bush samples that line for the Hounds of Love, and in the video actually does the scene of Harrington running through the woods.
Oh,
She
interesting.
recreates it herself. She's being chased through the woods. And,
Apparently, she loves this movie.
so there's also a line in the opening of the Rocky Horror Picture Show about Dana Andrews. I forget what it was, it's Casting the Runes, but it mentions this character specifically.
Yeah. So, right after the seance, he and Joanna, even though he doesn't believe anything and he thinks it's all nonsense, drive out to the Carswell house to break in and find this book. So he doesn't fully think that this is nonsense anymore. Like, he thinks some shit is going
Yeah,
down. He
Gardner
doesn't know
first says, like,
what.
I'm going to go get the book. He's like, of course not. I'll go get the
I'll go
book.
get the book,
It's like,
which means
no, you
he's.
believe that this
He,
book is.
yeah.
You're protesting too much.
It's like Christopher Hitchens saying, if I renounce my beliefs and say that I believe in God right before I die, it's I'm not in my right mind. And I'm like, so you're saying that you're gonna do that? Like, way to leave yourself an out, you dipshit. But anyways, I don't like that dude. So they go, he breaks into the house. They don't believe that Carswell is home. He's supposed to be out.
Right. That's what the
And
mother told Joanna.
Joanna that he's gonna be out of town this night or and then he breaks in and there's a cat. And the cat, well, he finds the book, and then there's a cat, and the cat is there, and then he says, "Hello, cat," and the cat looks at him, and then he says, he just looks at the cat, and the cat turns into a panther and attacks him, and then Carswell walks in a robe, like in a you know smoking jacket or whatever, but he's in a robe, and Holden's like, "The cat was a panther," and Carswell's like, "It's a security measure."
I like the fact the cat's name is Grey Malkin, which is even funnier.
And he turns on the light on him. Knew he said Carswell is like, I knew you would come. This man is in your house at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and you seem very chill about it.
Well, he has a pet panther.
Yeah,
Turns into a house cat. Like, you have good reason to be chill about it.
and I wish it was Pie-Wacket. It's my favorite cat name. Carswell's like, okay, well, you can leave through the front door. And Holden's like, I always leave the way that I came. And so he sneaks out through the woods
Right,
because
and
he's an
Carswell tells him,
idiot.
don't go through the
Don't do that.
woods.
You don't want to do that.
Right.
Like, he's straight up, and it's not even like, I don't think it's reverse psychology. I think he's just
That's what
like,
that was what
fucking
Holden claims
don't.
later on. Oh, he was telling me not to go through the woods, and he knew I was going to do it deliberately. And he gets chased by
By a big cloud of smoke, similar to the one we had seen at the beginning.
footprints.
Big footprints, yes.
Yes.
But we don't see a monster.
No.
Not yet. Then we get to do the hypnotizing scene. And I believe at this point, it's basically day three. Like
We're on
we're
the
on
day that
the
he's
day
going
that
to
he's
expire.
supposed to die. We see an ambulance running its lights or running its sirens, which is fucking wild, bringing this man who is catatonic to this auditorium. I don't know that you need to do this in front of an audience,
Well,
but
it's like a
okay.
medical
It's
auditorium because
at,
it's
I'm
part
sure
of
it's at
the,
the conference, right? Yeah.
it's part of the conference.
They wake him up with meth. They hypnotize him in a way that is absolutely not hypnotism, but maybe they also just didn't want to teach people how to actually use
There's
hypnotism.
that.
Like, don't say the actual quote unquote actual demon names,
Right.
make some up. You don't need to actually use the terms that people who really believe
Well,
this
that's
stuff
what they did,
use.
Evil, the TV show.
Yeah.
The demons are all named George.
George, we don't we're not using the we're
Yeah.
not using the names.
Don't want to say these
We
names
don't
out
say the
loud.
names. They're like Voldemort. And he freaks out. But we find out that yeah, he was chosen to die by being given the parchment. And he avoided it by passing it back, as you said.
I love that scene. Holden, who's been so skeptical so far, is like leaning over him.
Did
How did you
take
do
notes?
it?
How did you, what do you, what do I need to
How
do?
do I survive
Because
tonight?
he saw the big smoke.
Right.
The big smoke was very scary.
And
Also the
yeah,
panther.
they tried going to the police afterwards, and he feels like a complete idiot because he's like, what
Yeah,
am I
they're just
gonna
like,
do? I broke into a man's
house.
house, and then a demon chased me. It's
Like,
like,
yeah, that's
okay, enough
not.
of you.
And also, you were on a newspaper saying you
Right.
didn't believe this shit. And so at that point, Holden shows Hobart the parchment, and he thinks he's trying to give it to him, and he freaks out and jumps through the window to his death. So, explain to me how that's better than being eaten by a demon or whatever, killed by a demon, because I'm pretty sure if you're Catholic, suicide counts.
Right. Well, he's not quite
Fair
Catholic,
enough. Yeah, no, fair
but I
enough.
think
I don't
that,
know if you're in that cult, any death at that
right.
point is not going to be great for you, but that's just the conjecture on my part. So then Holden's like, all right, I got to hand this motherfucker this piece of paper. Cool. He finds out that Carswell is booking it to Southampton. He's getting on the train. He's getting the fuck out of Dodge because he knows, I believe he knows that Hobart was going to get brought into this thing. So he knows now that Holden has got an idea of what to do.
Carswell's mother said before, oh, he's leaving town.
He's like, yep. He's like, yeah, he's like, she's like, you could end this.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the train. And
he's
on the train.
He's taking Joanna with him.
He takes Joanna with him.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, no, Carswell has?
Carswell has, because he hypnotized her.
That's right.
Lots of hypnotism in this movie.
I forgot that she was hypnotized. I totally, I think, missed that, actually. And Holden gets in the car, finds him, goes to not the station that he got on at, but, like, the next station, meets the train, gets on the train. Yeah. Finds them.
I love the fact that he just leaves the whole conference. Guy just jumped out the window and
he's like, okay, bye.
The associate's like, this is so terrible. It's like, yeah, it is. Bye.
I gotta go. And he finds them in the first car that he opens. It was pretty spectacular. And he moves in and he sits down. And Carswell, like, Holden keeps trying to hand him things, and Carswell's like, nope.
No, you can't just give it to them directly. They have to not know that you're giving it back to them. So he keeps trying to do what Carswell did to him.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, because otherwise he would just hand him the runes right off the bat.
Well, he won't take it from him.
He has to accept them, right? Exactly.
Oh, God. He has to accept them. I see what you're saying.
So then, so it's a really funny scene because it's played out in this tiny little.
It's just a little car.
Compartment.
And I guess, is Joanna awake at that point?
Yes, Joanna's awake at that point.
And she's, you know, he's like. He picks this up and tries to hand it to him, and Carswell's like, oh, no, I'm good. I don't need anything.
You like a smoke? Oh, no, I'm cutting back.
He reaches out. He's like, nope, actually, I'm good. I'm, yes, exactly, all of this. And then they get to the next station, and he's, like, trying to fucking, Carswell's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here, because I am not safe with this man, and also because a demon is coming for him. Right. I do not want to be near him when the demon comes
for him. Have you seen how that affected Rand Hobart?
Yeah. Even though he's, like, in charge and should be less freaked out by the demon, you'd think?
Well, the demon's indiscriminate. It's going to take
I guess that's true.
Has the rune.
Has the rune. Runes, I guess. And so he's rushing out, and
well,
Joanna's like, he's not supposed to get
well,
off at all.
Point, he's going to try to force Carswell to take the runes. And the police from
that's
the
right.
day before just go in there, and they start going, well, sir, to the sorcerer, is this man bothering you?
Yeah.
And so he is held back for, like, questioning, but as they're handing it, as he's
Carswell is booking it out, and Joanna's like, he's not even supposed to get off. He's supposed to be going to Southampton. They're not there yet. And he's like, no, I just want to take my things and go. And so he gathers up all of his stuff except his jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's like in a rush to get out, Holden hands him his jacket and he takes it. And then he's like, oh, fuck. And then he runs away. And then the parchment gets blown out of his hand.
Right.
And at this point, it's not like now you get 3 more days. It's like the demon's coming and it's going to aim itself
well, it's
at
like,
wherever
it's
the thing
is. Going to go at 10 o'clock or whatever it was.
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah.
On that day.
Yeah. It's, yes, it's like a countdown. It's a hot potato with the damn runes. And so he chases it down the tracks and. Once on the tracks and it gets blown out of his hand and then he's chasing it and it's leading him further and further down the tracks and he is reaching out for it and then it bursts into flames. I'm pretty sure that means time's up, motherfucker. And then a train comes by and we see the demon again. We see the smoke and then this time we get to see the whole ass demon and his weird hand. I'm going to put a picture in the image that I do for each episode of the hand. The hand is like my favorite part. It's like a weird Muppet hand.
It's like a bird talon too.
It's got like pads all over it. It's very strange. And it's like, yeah, it's just a weird shape. I don't know. I thought it reminded me of a labyrinth thing. Just the hand, not the rest of it. He is attacked. They find his body and they believe he was struck and dragged by a train. So that's the damage that was done. And then Holden is like, cool, I'm going to go. And he and Joanna bounce.
Well, I love the last line of the film is that he wants to go see, because he's told Joanna earlier when they were in the police station.
Yeah.
This is what happened to me. When I was a kid, everyone saw a black cat. They ran the opposite direction. I wanted the cat to cross my path.
Right. I would walk under a ladder, yeah.
So he needs to know.
Just to see what would happen.
As he's walking towards the smoking corpse of Carswell.
That's right.
She grabs a hold of him and goes, "Sometimes it's better not to know."
Yeah.
And he,
He's like,
like,
yeah,
okay, maybe it
probably.
is. And
Maybe
he
it
turns
is.
around. And,
Because I'm like 98% to belief, and maybe I
right.
don't need to
I
see
don't need
him.
to take that step because that puts him in a whole different world of demons and monsters and all sorts of things
Yeah.
that he doesn't want to believe in.
No, even though he's a parapsychologist, which really means studying these things, not
Right.
just debunking them, but okay. Fine.
But yeah, for the sake of his sanity, he's not going to go
Nope.
there.
And
He'll
he's listening to his pretty lady friend, and
Right.
he's going to go back to her uncle's place, and they're definitely going to have stress sex. That's what's going to happen. Yes, they had sex in the 50s, and these two are going to do it.
Okay.
This I
So,
believe.
overall, what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was really fun. I think you get good character sketch, like broad character sketches, so you know who's
Right.
what. I think Carswell's a really fun character. As much as I get irritated by skeptics, not because they're skeptics, but because they're assholes, I think maybe it's because it's 80 minutes and he stops being such an asshole about it
Right.
like 20 minutes in. And he's not. He's like a combination of oblivious and unknowledgeable
Right.
in a way that is almost like forgivable. Like he's not coming to it with a, I know this, that, and the other, therefore. He's
Right.
just like, yeah, I don't believe it. And I've never seen anything, or it's never been proven to me otherwise. That's basically
So
where he's
right now
at.
he's going, yeah, and that's what I like about the film. It's not pushing you that you have to accept it. It's just this is his
That's the
story
problem with that first
right
scene, though,
now.
because it is pushing you to accept it. Because
So,
right off the rip, and specifically, even if you could have shown the demon at the beginning, as long, and if you didn't show. You had to not show it at both places, I think, is the thing. Because if you see the demon at the beginning, you might just think that dude was overcome,
Right.
right? He was in a panic and he hallucinated. But then the same demon is shown later. So we know for a fact this movie is telling us this demon exists.
So the producer included the demon. Charles Bennett, who wrote the screenplay, wrote it with the same idea that Turner had in mind, which is you don't know if it's real or not real, which changes the dynamic. In arguing with Hal Chester, who they got into terrible sort of arguments over how to represent this demon in the film. And Turner wanted to be very much in Lewton's kind of idea, which is
Don't.
We don't need to see it. I mean, he was
The I
all
think the
with
smoke is very
the ball
good.
of smoke was
Yeah.
one thing he wanted. The footprints was another thing. He was
For
big on
sure,
that.
yeah, that works.
They worked their way down to, he said, 4 frames of the demon at the end of the film. And
That would have been okay, I
right, so
think.
that you just like,
Just
wait,
going,
it would be
oh,
almost subliminal. And but from the very beginning, Chester had every intention of including this demon. He thought the film was too British. He had another writer rewrite the screenplay.
it's wild that he thinks something by M.R. Montagu Rhodes James,
Right.
Eton scholar, was too
Right.
British. Well, you are adapting the wrong thing,
Right. He
sir.
just saw it as a property to buy, and he didn't really have the same sort of faith in it. He one of the more interesting apocryphal stories about this that is true in this case, is that he tried to get Ray Harryhausen to do the
That
demon.
would have been amazing.
And Harryhausen was too busy prepping and shooting The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad, which, for those of you who don't know, what Star Wars was eventually in 1958, The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad was. And just this crazy, wild kind of movie. But when it came down to turn, he had no intention of shooting the demon scenes, but Chester insisted on it and shot it without Turner's permission. It was just
Right.
inserted in the film, and they were going back and forth.
That's wild.
The scene that I told you about, the children's birthday party. Chester wanted to use a couple of fans to create this windstorm,
That's right.
and Dana Andrews apparently started, "Shut up, you dumb son of a bitch! Let the director direct the
Direct the
movie."
movie. He was
And
just sick of this
Dana
bullshit.
Andrews was a genuine tough guy, so Chester
Yeah.
got scared. They wound up pulling.
A real Sean Connery Michael Bay
Right,
situation.
exactly. He wound up pulling 2 airplane engines.
That's what it seems like.
Right.
It is
It's,
a lot of
yeah.
wind.
So they, but they kept fighting over it. I think I'm of two minds with it, right? And this is a film, by the way, that was almost, well, the plot, the basic plot was remade in Drag Me to Hell. In that case, it was a button. But on the one hand, I think the demon should have been showed a lot less. Because when you're seeing it in the very far distance, and you're like, what am I looking at? And it looks scary, and then it does
Up
this
close,
close-up.
you lose the, and especially now, especially given 70 some years, 80 some years, right? About 70 some.
It's not something that stands the test of time necessarily. It's interesting to look at, but the technology wasn't there to actually convince you that this is a demon
Yeah, but
necessarily.
that smoke thing really was very
And that's
effective.
what he wanted to go with. But the thing is, on the other hand, if you're able to forgive that, it does create a different kind of tension to say, we know it's real, and this guy is just
You've
stubbornly
just got,
not believing
yes,
it.
exactly,
And
yeah.
so it sets up an expectation of knowing what he's in for.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that it's like there's two different ways of seeing this.
Right. But also then, still you don't need to see it at the end. I think one or the other is stronger, a stronger choice. What I also think is interesting is we have a cult leader. He's a described and like both externally and internally described cult leader. We never see him be a cult leader. Like, there's never a bunch of hooded people around. He's never ordered. The only people we see him around are his mother and a bunch of kids who he's giving puppies.
Which is kind of what makes him this kind of intriguing character, because he's not doing those things that you associate with
Yeah,
that.
it's not a stereotypical character, which
There's
I liked very much.
another person who covered this film in in a podcast. They did a real scream scene, which is what I like. They seem to be on hiatus right now, but one of the hosts there mentioned there's just a wealth of interesting lines to the film. One of which is the mother is like, "Oh, he's a bachelor. He's too fussy," and
Yeah,
that
he definitely, I
is that a coded,
think, was coded. Well, there's a 50-50 on this. Is he British or is he gay? There's a little bit of that. But I could absolutely see him being coded a homosexual, but not overtly, because I don't get a sense of he's gay, therefore he's evil, which is very much a trope that has lasted, Scar. Like, it's lasted until now, basically. So I don't feel like it was coded so hard as to believe
No, I
that.
think that his character is just, he looks like a person who, if we want to make a story arc for him, judging from what we've seen, he's a person who started life. He said he used to play snakes and ladders, and he used to like sliding down the snakes more than climbing up the
Climbing
ladders.
up the ladders, yeah.
And so he was always interested in this kind of thing. He becomes a stage magician. And at some point, his mom, who goes to seances for entertainment and things like that, and talks to spirit guides, he becomes more and more involved in the actual occult, and then he can't back out of it because he is the kind of person who wants the adulation even of a crowd of children.
Right.
He's constantly showing off. He didn't need to create a like a practical tornado
No, he just
for
wants
Holden.
he wants to be, yeah, he wants the accolades. He
And the
wants,
fact that we can get all that from just this movie that's rocketing along.
yeah, there's a couple of good lines that I wanted to say. One was at that scene where where Holden says, "I see you practice white magic as well as dark." And Carswell says, "Oh yes, I don't think it would be too amusing for the youngsters if I conjured up a demon from hell for them." And I'm like, "No, that's just for you, sir." But I think that some of the strongest lines are in that last scene in the car of the train, and he's just trying to like he won't take anything, right? Like, Carswell will not take anything from Holden. And Holden's like, "Sit down. Your generosity is becoming overwhelming as it gets closer to 10 o'clock. You're staying with me, Carswell. You've sold your bill of goods too well because I believe you now. I believe that in 5 minutes, something monstrous and horrible is going to happen. And when it does, you're going to be here so that whatever happens to me will happen to you." Some petty bullshit, but also, yep, that
You
seems
stick a
right.
demon on me, for God's sakes. The theory is that the character that M.R. James wrote about originally was based on Arthur Edward Waite. who the poet and occultist who created the Rider-Waite-Tarot. But the Carswell in the film seems to be based more on Aleister Crowley.
Yeah.
But overall, yeah, he's more sympathetic than Crowley is because he's
Yes.
not just a sort of weird lecher. All that's
Yeah, he seems to not be a fan of the fact that he has to kill people,
right.
but he's gonna.
Right.
So,
Again, it's like it's better them than me.
yeah. And there's a Dr. O'Brien. I think this might be the one who's testing the card. But he says to Holden, "I'm a scientist also, and I know the value of the cold light of reason, but I also know the deep shadows that light can cast." That's what a parapsychologist should sound
Right.
like, not, "This is all bullshit. Let me tell you why. You're not a parapsychologist. You're just a skeptic." Period. End of discussion. Just aggravated.
Yeah.
Parapsychology is a really interesting field to me. Also, if you believe in the soft science of psychology, it seems to me like you should be a little bit more open to
Right.
parapsychology. Like, I believe in the science of psychology. Like, I believe that there are definitive scientific thoughts and discoveries in that field, but that is a soft science
Right.
because it is largely also sort of molded by the people doing the science, the psychoanalysis and Freud. Like, it is built off of this one man, white, European, single man. So, it's a malleable thing. I think that there's value in it, and that has to come across to parapsychology. There's a reason that the whole ass word is in there. Like, so it that was the thing that was aggravating to me, is I'm just like, don't call yourself, just call yourself a skeptic. It's fine.
Right.
Skeptics would have been invited to parapsychology
Oh, yeah. You
conferences.
need them, actually. You
Absolutely.
need them
Yeah.
because
To
it's.
offset
I
people who
found that
have.
out in my experience of dealing with the other, that kind of business.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure how to phrase it. But there were people who worked in a bookstore for 6 years that was haunted. There were people who were really, really skeptical to a frustrating degree. And there were people on the opposite side of the spectrum who were incredibly credulous. And
Yeah,
every
they just believe
time,
anything that anybody said
yes,
anything. Yeah.
any time though that there was a book missing off a shelf, if they couldn't find their lunch in the lunchroom,
A
the ghost
sound that
took
they
it.
couldn't,
Right.
yeah, couldn't, yeah.
What is that mystery smell? It smells like cigars. Do you think that the ghost who lives here smokes cigars? That kind
Yeah,
of
I
thing.
think sort of ghost hunter things like that, I think they do fall into the realm of parapsychology. You go into a situation where people are like, "I don't know what this is. I
Right.
fear that it might be this. I don't know. These are the things that I am experiencing." And then you try and figure out what physical things could be causing them. Mirrors, light bouncing off of things,
Right.
pipes that are making sounds, like all kinds of different things. And if you cannot, like, quote unquote, debunk, if you cannot find a physical reason for these things, then you can start looking into non-physical reasons for these things,
I will quote
metaphysical reasons for these
Sherlock
things.
Holmes, "When you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable,
Is, yeah,
must be
must
the
be true.
truth."
Now, the problem with that, too, though, is there's a lot that could be possible. Like, it is almost impossible to, this is going to be a bad sentence, to eliminate all of the impossible. Because you don't know,
Right.
no human being knows every single aspect of a situation. That's just not possible. So, yes, that might be true, but it
Right.
is not, it is a difference without a
But yeah, I
distinction.
think that sometimes when you're looking at cases of the paranormal, you find that there are people who then say, "Well, this is possible under these circumstances," and they stack up such a stack of coincidences
Yeah.
and unlikely scenarios that will answer those questions, but they're also unlikely when you put them together.
Right.
It becomes just as ridiculous as believing
Right.
in a ghost.
But sometimes a bunch of crazy shit does happen.
Right, and but sometimes other things happen, and it's just that there's a, again, it's like it's either super credulous or super skeptical, and finding people in the middle is, that's really what you want to go for.
Yeah, and also, like, even if you are open-minded, unless a ghost looks at you in your face, you should always be like, yes, it's a possibility, not yes, it's a certainty. Like, I think you got to stay agnostic because you can have faith that the thing is true, I guess, if that's what you want to go with, is a faith in ghosts. I mean, there's faith in the afterlife, so I don't see what that's about where you're at. But I'm still like, I'm
And
gonna
this
stay.
in this
I'm gonna
yeah.
stay open-minded and credulous.
Which is probably the best approach if it's not something that you've experienced yourself. It's
For
just sort
sure.
of like,
Well, and every experience doesn't mean that everything else is true. That's
Yeah, part of my issues with skepticism is that having seen and experienced some of the things I did, having people just tell me, well, that doesn't exist, and try to talk me out of it, and then get upset and start insulting me when they couldn't talk me out of it. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? So that means that if I'm just going to give myself the space to go, if I saw this, which is impossible, what else is possible that I'm being told doesn't exist?
My other problem is, especially like with atheism, specifically that brand of skepticism, I don't think this is true about 99.999% of people that I know that are atheists and that are probably atheists in the world. The loud ones who call themselves atheists are anti-theists. They're anti-theist and they're anti-religion, period. And they're anti-religious people. Because here's the thing, if I don't believe in something, I don't think about
I'm
that
not
thing that
gonna
much.
spend so much time
But these
being
like outspoken atheists write books on this thing that they don't believe in, which is fucking wild. Am I gonna spend 6 years of my life writing a book about unicorns because they don't exist? God damn it. Like, no, I'm gonna not. You have a problem with a group of people or a group of beliefs that you are against. Don't call yourself an atheist, though, because if you are just an atheist, you just don't
It's
believe
the
in a thing
other
and
end
you
of the
leave it the fuck
spectrum
alone.
from rabid evangelicals. It's the same kind of illness in a way. This need to have the one way to see the universe.
And then everybody else can go fuck themselves forever. Like, yeah, it's no good. We say no to that. Curse of the Demon or Night of the Demon. In America, it's Curse of the Demon. So that's probably what you'll find it as. Where did we watch it?
We watched it on Amazon
No,
Prime.
yes, we did. We have a Fandor trial going on right now for 7 days. I left it as a new email in my inbox so that I remember to maybe cancel the Fandor account because the shit in there is bananas.
Oh yeah, there's some weird, like, what? Wait, what? I didn't know that was a film. And it should it be? No, probably
I'm gonna. In
not.
fact, you know what? After this record, I'm gonna go ahead and just cancel it. We'll keep it for the next 7 days or whatever. But then like the ring, we die. So, Curse of the Demon. That's it for that one. We're gonna move only 1 year ahead for next week, and we're going to watch a movie that I'm gonna have a very difficult time saying right now. Horror of Dracula.
You sounded fun, just fine.
I have a speech impediment. Starring the infamous Christopher Lee. This is your favorite Dracula.
Christopher Lee and Peter
And
Cushing.
Peter Cushing, that's
And
right.
what's funny is that you can see this as kind of like, I think it was Stephen King who talked about wet horror and dry horror. And dry horror would be something like Curse the Demon, which is very cerebral and intellectual, and wet horror is something appropriately enough like this Dracula, which is like blood. There's blood. There's blood in the opening title.
Blood.
There's blood dripping down his face. And having seen the other Dracula, Bela Lugosi's very bloodless kind of Dracula, then we're jumping to this
Which is
point
so
where.
interesting because it's a, well, I guess time has to do with that because Dracula is by definition a bloody story. Like, that's the whole deal. That's the whole deal. So we're gonna watch that. It's another short one. It's only 1 hour and 22 minutes long. This is a Hammer film, right?
Yes, this is the
Is it one of the
this
early ones? Like, when did
yeah
they
this
exist?
they existed for a very long time
Oh,
before
okay.
this. They were making sort of low budget films, and for a while they were doing everything. They were doing police thrillers, they were doing adaptations of television programs, which was really odd. And they did,
Yeah, 1934 was founded.
and they wound up doing Curse of Frankenstein the year before, I think, and then brought back the same two people to do Dracula, and this is what skyrocketed them to fame everywhere in the world.
Gotcha. That's what we're gonna watch next. It's very bright, right?
It's
This one's
very it's
because
in
that blood is red.
right. They wanted to make sure that you knew that this was a color film.
And yeah. And we're gonna watch that.
Yeah.
Until then, do you have anything you want to recommend to our beautiful listeners?
I didn't get to really watch anything. I spent my day climbing a mountain, and we didn't go to the movies this
We
week.
didn't.
Yeah.
I want to see Dune still,
We want to
and I
see
want to
Dune.
see the Society of Magical Negroes.
Yes, that looks
And
fun.
there's a few things out that I want to see, but we didn't see any of them.
No. Also, the Godzilla X Kong is, there's
Is it
people,
coming?
yeah, people are buying their tickets. There's a new trailer out, which makes it look even more preposterous.
So you're recommending get your tickets now, I
Right. Well,
guess.
yeah, there's a lot to see, but we haven't had the chance to go out much lately. What do you recommend?
I recommend a concept. Here's my concept. Buy yourself the thing, the quality version of the thing. I'm realizing that one of the sort of lingering, I guess it's a trauma effect from being very poor growing up, is I want to buy the cheap version of the thing. I'm still very much in the pay less shoes, new crappy pair of shoes every 3 months instead of good pair of shoes once every 2 years. And yeah, don't do that. You deserve the thing, and
I'm
provided you can
still having
afford
problems
it.
with that too,
Provided that you can afford it, do the thing. You
yeah. Right.
deserve the thing. This is coming from, brought to you by just having ordered and built a new bed frame after the
Congratulations, you
thing.
built it all by yourself.
I did build it all by myself after ordering a crappy one from Amazon less than 6 months ago that basically fell apart. I kept the headboard, so it's not a total loss, but I bought a frame and a foundation that is going to literally last until I die. It's made out of railroad steel. It's not going anywhere. So if you can invest in the thing, invest in the thing. Because you're investing in you
Right.
and
And you're
you're
worth
worth
it.
it.
There we
You're
go.
totally worth it. Now, granted, I understand that that is not always a possibility. Trust me, I understand that. But if you can put off getting something for a little while and get yourself a level up or 2 levels up, it's the Terry Pratchett boot, thing. Very much like the Payless Shoe Source thing,
Right.
which is over time you end up spending more, both time and money, and sometimes personal health and safety
Right.
on the least expensive thing, rather than being able to get the more expensive thing and getting the longevity and the health and the savings of not having to do the thing over and over again, if you can just get that next level up. And as I say, you are worth it. I'm talking to you too. You are worth it. Look in a mirror and say it over and over again. I know I say that to you. I don't do it. I'm supposed to, but I don't do it because it makes me itchy. But I did just buy myself a very nice bed. I'm going to get good sleep on it, and I'm not going to have to buy another bed probably ever. I also bought new shoes today so that
Good
I
for you.
don't
Good.
fall off of a boat. So buy the treat yourself to the things that you need in the best possible version of that thing that you can reason, like don't not pay rent to buy yourself something, but like if you can wait, save up, get the good version of the thing. That's what I recommend.
Well, good.
It's
I
weird.
like
It
that.
has nothing to do with media, but here we are. That's the day I've had. My whole body hurts. So it was not hard to put together, but it is extraordinarily heavy. That's it.
Okay.
Horror of Dracula next week. Peter Cushing. Christopher Lee came out in 1958. There's a lot of Draculas out there, but this one is
Right.
ours.
Yes.
So we'll see you then. Until then, you can reach us on Facebook or email us at latecomerspod@gmail.com. We're gonna maybe try and start visual short media. TikTok's about to be banned, so let's get on TikTok. We might do that. We might do Instagram. We're moving our other podcast to a short,
Right.
more often format because it just doesn't make sense to do it monthly when things are happening
Happening
every day.
every day.
Which is exhausting. If things could just stop happening for like 2 days,
With a
that'd be
lifetime to
sweet.
digest it,
Nope.
it's not working out that way.
I keep hearing about things that happened in 2003, and I'm like, I fucking forgot that. And they're big,
Right.
major things. Our brains are not meant to know everything that happens all over the world, all of the time.
No.
Humans aren't built for that. So take a deep breath, take your medicine, and we'd like to remind you, better
I'm
late than
waking up.
never.